Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain. Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. Jesse, we recently did something that we have not done in quite a long while, at least as far as I can remember, and that is that we actually watched a movie together.
Yeah.
I feel like we have watched some news. I mean, we stayed up and watched the election. Other than that,
we've tried to watch series occasionally.
But we just have not watched a movie in quite a long while, unless I'm forgetting something. And so we had this evening where I was like, we could watch a movie. And you picked the movie Twisters, which our three older kids had seen and said, you guys have to see it. And maybe it's because we're from Kansas. I don't know, but
it was well done. I enjoyed it.
I talked about it on Instagram, and so many people said that they loved it too. So I don't think it's just because we're from Kansas, although there were a few people that said they had had a really catastrophic tornado come through their area, so they were not ready to watch it. And I think that that is a very valid thing. But it was really well done. And also, it's hard to find movies nowadays that are clean. And it was very clean. It had a little bit of language, but I don't even think there was anything. I mean, maybe I'm forgetting, but I don't even think there was anything suggestive in it. Yeah. Like, it was just very clean. And obviously, there were some things in it that weren't realistic when it comes to tornadoes and stuff like that. But overall, it was a good movie. So we would recommend it if you have not seen it. I'm reading a book right now called Word Before World. And it's by Gretchen Saffels. I actually got to meet her in person. She came with Laura Whiffler when she came for a podcast a while ago. And I just really fell in love with her heart for Jesus. And so this is her devotional. And it's just been really good. I love how she's just pointing you to Jesus every morning and really encouraging you to be in the Word of God before you step into the world, as in like before you open up your phone, before you jump into your day to spend time filling up your soul with Jesus. So I'd highly recommend that. It was Word Before World by Gretchen Saffels. It would also make a great gift idea for someone for Christmas if you're looking for a good devotional. I mentioned that we had watched the election, and I talked about this a little bit on Instagram, and people were shocked. There were so many people who have been following me for years and years and years who said, Crystal, I did not know this about you, and that is that I am a political junkie. Now, I think that probably all of you who listen to the podcast regularly have picked up on that, because I've talked about it a lot more on the podcast than I do on the internet, just because the internet can sometimes feel like a bit of, I don't know, a landmine that you're trying to crawl through when it comes to politics. And I try to be very careful that my policy is that I don't talk about politics on the internet in the sense of that I don't share my political views on the internet. The one thing I do talk about is being holistically pro-life. And I've written a lot on that and what that looks like to really live out your belief that all life from conception to death has value, and that every single person is worthy of dignity. And that when we say we're pro-life, it doesn't just mean we believe life begins at conception, but it also means that we stand for the value and dignity of life for every single person, no matter their age, no matter what they've done, no matter who they are, that they deserve to be really viewed as if they are made in the image of God, because every single person is made in the image of God. And so treating them with that viewpoint. So that's the only, I guess, hot button topic that I talk about on the internet when it comes to politics. But yes, I am a political junkie. I think, Jesse, it's, I don't know, is it something that you become or is it something that you just are? But you and I have always really been into following politics from the time that we were young. I feel like you maybe more so than me when we were younger.
I think you were closet when you were growing
up. We didn't have a TV or we didn't watch TV. And so I do think we may have watched, I do remember my parents pulling it out of the closet, I think for the election. I do feel like we did watch it then, but not anything leading up to it. But then whenever we were, before we were even married, we would go do sign waves for different people who are running for different offices. We both ran for precinct committee man and committee woman, and just
were you won, I lost. Well, on that race. Well, actually, no, I was 0-2.
Oh, that's right. Because you ran for precinct committee man before we were married. I forgot about that. Yeah, so apparently you just don't have a great career in politics.
I still serve, but
yes, wasn't it because the person who won didn't really want to serve or something, and they gave you their place? Anyway, but so leading up to the election, I don't even know a word for it, but I consume a lot of content from a lot of different voices, from a lot of different perspectives. And I dig into what are the people on the ground actually saying, not what are the talking heads telling you, not what are the supposed different, you know, surveys and, I can't even think of the word.
Polls.
Yes, that's the word. You know, not what are they telling you, but what are people actually saying? And are you hearing the same thing said over and over and over and over and over again? And so then taking all of that and then creating my own electoral college map and then revising it until I feel like, no, this is
the deepest that you've gone, I think, this year.
Well, I think the technology has also improved.
That is very true. Yes.
And so in the past, I wouldn't have been the kind, I mean, those of you who follow me online know that I detest anything to do with a spreadsheet. And so I would never do something like that. But an electoral college map that is interactive, that you can go and just click the button and it's going to change the colors, that's fun to me. Mm-hmm. And but people just were shocked because they're like, Crystal, we would never see you as like that. You know, you don't like spreadsheets. So how would you be the kind of person who would spend all this time trying to create the electoral college map that is in line with, you know, your predictions and all of that? It's so fun to me.
You would have found Tim Russert to be very entertaining.
Who's Tim Russert?
He was kind of the pre... who's the guy on CNN? The white-haired guy. He was the first
Anderson
one.
Cooper?
No, not Anderson. No, the political commentator. Political analyst, I think it would be a better name for it. But anyway, he was the first guy to kind of going into different elections, you know, playing with the numbers, playing with the electoral college numbers, the different potential electoral votes, polling. Polling is very... You can get deep in polling, and Tim would go pretty deep in polling, and because there's a lot of analysis that you have to do and determine what, okay, is this poll accurate? Is this poll, can you replicate it? Can you verify it? It's what's the sample size? What's the questions asked? There's all sorts of questions. When you look at poll numbers that you need to dig down deep into, answering these questions to determine what is this even valid? Because we've seen polls that have been so off the mark, and yet you've also seen polls that are pretty accurate. You know, you see what the margins of error is and how many people do you need to ask to get down to a certain margin of error, you know? So, yeah.
Well, I definitely dove deep into all of that this year, and I found it really, really fascinating. And maybe it's, you know, I never enjoyed things like algebra or geometry, but I love consumer math, which was math that you actually use in your everyday life as far as banking and things like that.
Practical math.
And I feel like this is practical math. And so I just, yes, I really, really got into it. And so then on election night, you set up three TVs and we had multiple streams and we were checking things on our phone. And it was just...
had our own little watch party.
Yes. And our kids, what was really special is that all of our kids were not as into it as we are, but all three of our older kids, I mean, our whole family sat there and watched it because Catherine had come back to vote and then she decided to stay the night with us. And yes, we absolutely stayed up until 2 a.m. And then I went to bed for a few hours and then got back up and started analyzing everything, looking at everything, seeing if the results were actually accurate or not, which, by the way, the election was in line with what my electoral college map looked like, which I thought that I was, I don't know, it was like, but I had dug down into the deep recesses of TikTok and Instagram and like really reading the comments and seeing what people were saying. And I was like, there's the things that people are saying is not what I'm seeing on mainstream media. It's not what the polls are saying. And there seems to be a huge disconnect here. Mm-hmm. And so it was just really, I felt like I, you know, my predictions were probably way off, but it goes to show that sometimes digging down deep into the recesses of TikTok and really paying attention to what people on the street and the comments that people are saying, there's a lot of value in that. And, you know, but then I also have to weigh it, like, are these just bots? You know, I mean, right. There's so much that you just don't know. But I spent a lot of time also just talking to people in my real life, people who follow online, who follow me online, and just having conversations. And I think that that is something that is somewhat of a lost art
in
this day and age. And, you know, really thinking of both sides and really listening to both sides. And that's something that I tried to do this entire election, was to go and find the very far left, go and find the very far right, and go and find the middle and listen to all of the voices and see what are their fears, what are their concerns, what are they excited about, what are they hopeful for, and just really listening to all of that. And I think now that the election is over, we see how there are certain groups of people who are kind of swinging the pendulum to huge celebration. And then there are certain groups of people swinging the pendulum to just devastation. And I feel like that both parties can, I'm not saying like Republican, Democrat here. I'm just saying like people who have swung the pendulum to both sides. I feel like that they are not really listening to the other side, because there are a lot of people who are really hurting and there are a lot of people who are really celebrating, and we don't want to be, you know, I feel like that the people who are hurting need to be heard, and that if people are celebrating, that can be, not that you shouldn't celebrate something if your candidate wins, but I feel like that there's
a difference between celebrating and gloating.
Yeah. And I've just seen some things that really are really, really concerning to me. And then, I mean, I feel like I have such strong criticism for both sides. And I feel like because I have listened to voices on both sides, that has caused me to feel that. And so then I often feel like I am a woman without a party because I don't fit in any neat little box.
Honestly, I don't think anybody fits in a neat little box.
I wonder, I'd love to hear from those of you who are listening. I've probably said something that has offended people on both sides, because I feel like that's why I don't talk about politics on the internet, although it's very hard for me because I am so interested in it, fascinated by it, and also feel like it's just something that is a passion of mine that I have to really hold back because I have such strong feelings. But I think I would make people, no matter where, what camp you're in, no one would fully agree with me because I am just this free thinker. But one of the things that I was going, did you have something you want to say on that?
One of the things that I think can be taken away from this cycle is the importance of having conversations. Because one thing that we saw was, of the two candidates, the one candidate that sat down and candidate's camp that sat down and had long form conversations with people that they can actually look down and see okay, what are the stances here? What are the stances there? Instead of just focusing on sound bites, as it has been traditionally in the past, that was the camp that succeeded.
Well, and I think that's really what I was hearing as I was digging deep into the recesses of what are people on the street actually saying. And they really cared whether whatever label they wore, Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian, whatever they would claim as their party or not their party, I just kept hearing people say, like, we really want to know where people stand on things. And I just think that it is an important thing. And so, you know, for those of you who, whether you are celebrating or whether you are devastated or whether you are in the middle, kind of like, I really didn't like either candidate, I think to take the time to listen to people who are in very different camps than you and have these curious conversations and to really lean in, it's so easy to just kind of push away because it's uncomfortable. It's awkward. But to lean in and really listen and, you know, why do you feel like that? Tell me more about that. And so how long have you been of that persuasion? You know, how did you come to that conclusion? What are your thoughts on, you know, this candidate? What are your thoughts on this perspective? You know, just really asking, but asking because you care, not because you want to rebut or debate or get in the last word. And just listen. And you don't even have to respond. You know, you can just follow up with more questions or just say, thanks so much for sharing with me.
And honestly, I think that's a lost art anyway, not even in the form of politics, of asking questions. How often do you spend time with someone when all they do is ask questions about you, when they're curious about you? Very rarely. People are more interested in talking about themselves.
Well, people love to talk about themselves mostly what they're passionate about. One of my favorite things is to ask questions to get to the place where you can tell the person is lit up, like they're coming alive and they're just so excited that you're asking questions about something that they're really passionate about. And I learn so much from listening. And I just think that it's an important skill to learn, but it's also how we have more compassion and more empathy. And I think that's why with this election, I feel like I really went into it feeling deeply that both sides were, it wasn't like there was this, I don't know how to say this well, but it's like both sides really cared. You know, they really cared. And then there was fear on both sides as well. And so I think, like, to recognize that, sometimes I think it's easy, we can get in our own little bubble and feel like, well, you disagree with me, so I'm the one who cares and you're not. But it's like, if we take the time to really lean in and listen, we'll realize, and I'm not saying every single person, but I'm saying in general, people do have thought out reasons for why they feel the way they do. And some of it might have to do with past baggage. Some of it might have to do with trauma. Some of it might have to do with things that are dysfunctional and unhealthy and all of that. But to understand that every single person is, if we were to walk in their shoes, we would have a lot more understanding of what they're going through. And so to be kind and to give compassion and empathy, it's really helped me listening to be able to then better have conversations with people from the understanding of they care deeply too. And I might very much disagree with them, but we both care. And so that was a big tangent. But one of the things that I did want to share, a Sunday at church, we were singing a song, Jesus Only Jesus. And the message was really about just focusing our eyes on Jesus. And for those of you who are Christians, you know, I know that people are all across the board when it comes to the results of this election. And I would just encourage you, no matter what you're feeling, to remember that a politician is not God. And I say that because I feel like so often we see where there's so much hope put in a politician that if they win, it's going to completely change our world for the better. But if they lose, it's going to completely change our world for the worse. And, you know, we see that with the celebration and the devastation, as in there's so much hope being put in a candidate. And so I would just challenge everyone who is a believer in Jesus that our hope is in the Lord. And when we get to that place of truly understanding that no matter our circumstances, no matter what, we can stand firmly in our hope in Jesus. And He is truly our only hope. I believe very much in voting. I believe very much in, you know, being involved in your community and politically, if that's what God's calling you to. But ultimately, I think, you know, having our eyes on Jesus and thinking of this world is not our home. And so I just wanted to share that as a piece of encouragement. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. This month is about gratitude. And when I think about the people that I'm grateful for, I have to say that one person I'm very grateful for is a therapist who years ago had a deep, deep impact on my life and my parenting. And as I wrote about in my book, Love-Centered Parenting, really radically changed the way that I approach parenting and really then impacted my relationships with my kids and just the overall tone of our home. I don't know whether you've benefited from therapy or not, but you might have a similar story where you have just felt so much gratitude to someone who has said something that has really impacted your life and really shifted things for you in a positive way. Maybe you're listening, you're thinking, I would love to have that in my life because I'm feeling stuck or I'm struggling in this area. Well, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And I love that you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Let the gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/crystalpayne today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/crystalpayne. The holidays are better when you're not feeling guilty or worried about carbs. And with Hero Bread, you can have things like soft, fluffy bread without having to worry about carbs, because they have 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and are high in fiber. So you can enjoy things like grilled cheese with a cozy pumpkin soup, or buttery Hawaiian rolls with family dinner, or French toast casserole around the holidays. I love their bread. I especially love it toasted with lots of butter. And sometimes I will even sprinkle it with a little bit of Truvia and cinnamon. It is so good. I love that they have so many different products. So things like sliced bread loaves that I was just talking about, tortillas, and Hawaiian rolls. And they also have monthly small batches of indulgent favorites like 2 gram net carb hero croissants and more new surprises coming after the holidays. You'd never know it's low carb and high fiber bread from the texture. So get the soft, fluffy experience you know and love with your next savory breakfast sandwich, late night grilled cheese, or family taco Tuesday. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order of their new recipe. Go to hero.co and use code CRYSTAL at checkout. That's CRYSTAL at HERO.CO. As we head into the holidays and office parties and family get-togethers, cookie decorating, so many different fun things, it can feel like there's a lot on your plate, and maybe the thing that just doesn't take priority is your health. Well, there's a simple way that you can prioritize your health and feel better during the holidays. And that is with DS01. DS01 is formulated with 24 clinically and scientifically studied strains to support whole body benefits, including gut health, skin health, heart health, immune health, gut barrier integrity, gut microbial balance, and micronutrient synthesis in just 2 capsules a day. So if you want a simple way to prioritize your health during the holiday season, just add this to your routine. One thing that I encourage is habit stacking. So what you're doing already, think about before you go to bed. Are you brushing your teeth, washing your face? That's what I do. I have this evening routine and I just add on taking my supplements to that. So I actually have them sitting right there, right by my bathroom counter, so that when I'm doing my evening routine, I can just remember, oh yeah, part of my evening routine, habit stacking, brush my teeth, wash my face, take my vitamins, and take my supplements. And so add this into your routine, and hopefully it's going to make a difference in your holiday season, help you to prioritize your health. Get ahead of the new year with a routine that helps you now by going to seed.com/crystal and use code 25crystal to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/crystal. Code 25crystal. We're going to take a little bit of a hard right turn now. Jesse, this past week, we got to do something that we haven't done in a long time as well. In addition to watching Twisters, we hosted people at our house, which we have not hosted overnight guests in quite a long while. Mostly because we have not had a room to host people in. So we've had, I guess your brother came, was it, for the graduation and stayed in a cot in the basement for one night. We did do that. Mm-hmm. But my sister and her husband and my nephew stayed at our house for 2 nights because they were driving through to go visit my brother as well. And so we just had the best time. But it was funny because it was a last minute trip and she texted me 2 days before and was like, was there any way that we could come to your house on Sunday? And this was Friday afternoon. And I said, yeah, you're welcome to. You can stay. We have an extra room now because Catherine moved out. But I was like, please set your expectations really low. I do hospitality in the simplest of forms, as in I, you know, make sure things are cleaned up and that there are towels and toilet paper and clean sheets and some blankets and pillows. But other than that, I just am, you know, I knew that it was not a weekend where I was going to be able to spend a lot of time deep cleaning the house or making all this food or anything. But I was like, we would love to have you here. Just don't expect that there's going to be this huge welcome basket or something. and you know, no, for people who do that, that's wonderful. That's amazing. I just have had to learn that that's not my gift and that hospitality can look a lot of different ways. And so for me, hospitality can be a crock pot with soup and store-bought bread, you know, and paper plates or bowls, I guess I should say. But it can be pizza that you pick up from Domino's. It can be, you know, just having somebody over and offering them a glass of water, you know. And then there are times when I've been able to do more and it's been, you know, a little bit more of a spread, but giving myself that permission that opening up our doors doesn't mean that I have to be in a place to have everything all perfect or really well prepared. Just open up your door. And it was such a good time. And we, you know, didn't have a big plan ahead of time and just kind of flew by the seat of our pants. And it was really nice and really fun to get to practice overnight hospitality again after a while. Speaking of which, I wanted to mention something that I had shared on Instagram that so many people found to be really helpful. And I was doing an Instagram live with a friend of mine, Elizabeth. She has her Instagram handle is called Catfish with Ketchup. It is her older sister has Down syndrome, and then they adopted a little girl who now is a teenager who also has Down syndrome. And she just shares a lot of just what it's like and encouragement and inspiration and also just real life of their life. And I love her account. If you are interested in Down syndrome or disabilities or adopting a child with Down syndrome, I highly recommend following her. But we did an Instagram live together that was about foster care and adoption, because this is National Adoption Month. And one of the things that I was saying is that not everyone can foster. Not everyone is called to adopt, but everyone can do something. And so if you feel that pull on your heart to foster, but maybe you're not in a position to do that, or maybe your family or spouse is not all on board, to walk alongside a family who is fostering and to just look for ways to really serve them. And I said, don't just say, hey, let me know if you need anything, but really give concrete, specific examples of ways that you would like to come alongside and serve them. And so many people resonated with what I shared about that, that I ended up putting it into more concrete context. And I wanted to share. So I try really hard whenever someone's going through a hard time, if I have the capacity to do something more than pray, which sometimes I don't, but sometimes it's just, you know, texting them saying, I just prayed for you. And I just list off what I prayed for them. Or I might text, voice text them and pray in the voice text. But sometimes I'm able to do more. And so I shared this example on Instagram of a text that would be similar to what I would write. And it was, you've been on my heart this week and I've been praying for you. I'm free on Thursday and Saturday from 2 to 5 p.m. What would be the most helpful for me to do during that time? I could drop off dinner, just leave it on your porch if that would be easiest. I could run errands for you, just send me your list. I could babysit so you could get a nap or a shower or get other things done. Or I could come over and do laundry and dishes or other cleaning. Let me know what day would work and what option would help the most. This simple kind of format of giving people some options and telling them the time frame that you are available has been so helpful to me, because it helps me to think through, okay, what can I realistically offer by looking at my calendar? But then it makes it so much easier for someone who is on the receiving end to be able to actually say what would be helpful to them. And sometimes I will also say, or if there's something else that you know would be more helpful, let me know. It depends upon the situation. But this simple little Instagram post, so many people have written in and said, wow, I've never thought of doing it like that. And I can see how that would be so helpful. Or people who are walking through a hard time. Someone just wrote me right before we got on the podcast. They had just, their 13-month-old son just passed away. And she said, so many people have, you know, reached out to them and said, let me know if there's anything we can do to help, or let us know how we can help. And she said, we're so deep in grief, we don't even know what we need. But she said, if someone were to send us a text like this that we could just choose from, it relieves so much pressure to think of what do we need? And just, oh, that one thing on that time, that day would be so helpful. So I just wanted to share that as an encouragement as we think of, you know, how can we walk alongside people? This goes hand in hand with listening well, leaning in, listening well, loving people where they're at, but also practically how to walk alongside them and really serve them in a way that is a gift to them. So we'll link to that Instagram post in the show notes. I hope that this can just be helpful. One person left a comment that I thought was so good. They said, if you give them multiple options and you put an emoji by each option, they could just reply back with the emoji, and then they don't even have to type any words to really think. And I was like, that is great. I love that. So if you have other suggestions of ways to just serve people well when they're walking through a hard time, or serve people ongoing who are, you know, parenting a child with disabilities or fostering or adopting children from hard places, or caring for elderly parents, whatever it is that you're walking alongside them, I'd love to hear your suggestions of ways that you have showed up for people and continue to show up. Because I think that that is something that is so important. And sometimes we just need practical ideas of how to do that well, that can give us inspiration for how we can show up for the people in our life. Before we end this episode, I wanted to mention that we have a brand new freebie that we would love for you to download. It is called 20 Ways to Boost Your Christmas Budget. This is a cheat sheet that we put together that has 20 different apps and websites that you can earn free cash and free gift cards. And we put together a plan in this freebie for how you can earn $100 in the next few weeks to help you boost your Christmas budget. But then here's the best part. It doesn't just have to end at the end of this year or in the next few weeks. You can continue to do these things over and over and over again so that you can earn much more free cash and gift cards over the course of the next year, maybe completely pay for Christmas next year or set it aside to pay for something that you've been wanting to get or take a vacation or whatever it is. This is a way that you can just do some things that are completely free, just take a little bit of time and a little bit of effort and earn that free cash and gift cards. We just want to help you to stretch your budget a little bit more this Christmas season and into the new year. So we'll put the link to that in the show notes. Thanks so much for joining us today. I hope you have a great week. As always, if you have feedback, constructive criticism, encouragement, ideas, suggestions for future episodes, or just feedback on the podcast, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to crystal@moneysavingmom.com, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.